Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcasts. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.
Hey, 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 how y'all doing? It's your girl, Dee Dee Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen, and we are back with another episode of The Core Queen Podcast. I have an amazing panel today to talk about these crazy-ass trending topics we got going on this week, y'all. Y'all, welcome my panel of guests. They are here. They are here. They are here. Welcome, y'all.
Hey.
What up, what up, what up?
For those of you who don't know my guests, I will give y'all a little snapshot of who they are. Eric came in here with this little ass bio, so I'm gonna read it, but yeah, you know.
Ask me for a bio, but okay.
You gave me one, so I kept the one you gave me last time. Eric is a tech consultant and entrepreneur based in Charlotte, North Carolina. He is a disciplined advocate and loves to help others reach their potential. Follow him at flex_EDW.
Yes, please.
See, that's it.
Because I want to give time to remind everybody to hit the thumbs up button.
Thank you, Eric. You're so kind. Then we have my girl, Lashay Johnson. She is a serial entrepreneur from Bristol, PA. Bristol, stand up, my hometown. A suburb of Philadelphia. She is the founder of Candyland Academy, a STEM-based childcare facility that began in Pennsylvania. However, it's expanding to the Charlotte, North Carolina area. She is a certified career coach and coaches clients on navigating workplace issues, as well as consults with small and large businesses to build their human resources departments. She and her husband, big shout out to Tori, own Gouda's Kitchen, a loaded fry concept restaurant that began in Pennsylvania and has expanded to a food truck business in the Charlotte area. Lashay enjoys spending time with family, laughing at any and everything and everybody, and praising God for all things. Welcome, Lashay.
Hey, y'all.
Then we got my boy, this motherfucking Trey Colvin. Boots on the ground ass.
Yes, sir.
Born and raised in Chester County, South Carolina, and moved to Rock Hill, South Carolina when he was 13 years old. Trey is a major club promoter in the Charlotte area. He's the owner of Good East Catering and the creator of the YouTube reality show, The Entourage, which is on season 3. So check it out.
Yes.
And he is one of the best trail ride steppers on this side of the Mississippi. Welcome back, Trey.
Boots on the ground.
Look, y'all, we got a lot to talk about because for some reason, my timeline, your timeline, news feed, everything been flooded with our new president, Elon Musk.
Child.
You know the orange man ain't doing shit.
Listen, so what do y'all think about Elon Musk? I'm going to just leave it there. Elon Musk.
Elon ain't stopped talking since orange ass went in and ain't put the damn pen down. They both doing a whole bunch of nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they messing up a lot.
Shaking up way too much and it's really hurting people.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things with Elon, in my opinion, is all of these contracts that he's winning.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were right.
Stealing?
Because there wasn't no contract competition or nothing. They just gave them to him. No bidding or nothing. Because I know, I'm not if y'all heard about the FAA thing where, of course, they went in and fired all the people.
Right.
And now.
And then all these planes started crashing.
Yeah. Yep. But now Elon Musk Starlink is going to be the servers or whatever that's hosting all of this stuff.
Crazy.
Right.
Basically he's taking over
to his billionaire friend.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's the ultimate plan for Project 2025, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Privatize everything. Get your billionaire friends the money and line their pockets.
And that's it.
And cut all of us out.
Yeah.
Of everything.
Yeah. They had a meeting today. And Trump was sitting at the table. Elon Musk was standing up.
Like, why is he even there?
He's the president. Elon's the president. So... Trump is just the face card. He's the poster child.
That's really what it's looking like and how it's becoming.
When you saw the press conference with Elon Musk standing there with a hat on and Trump behind the desk, that tells you everything you need to know, right? Like, who comes in the office with a hat on?
Mm-hmm. Right. So disrespectful.
And who does a press conference with their child on their shoulders? You got your son on your shoulder, you just playing with him, talking to him, and your child just standing here walking back and forth or whatever.
Talking shit.
Like you Trump run everything. Just sitting here, he going left to right. He just going from left to right, looking back and forth. He don't know if he coming or going.
I mean, Trump almost 80, so yeah.
You know what?
He don't know whether he coming or going.
Probably should have left with Sleepy Joe.
Well, listen. Trump was acting like he was so much younger than him.
That was so weird.
We're not that far removed from a debate where he starts talking about randomly people eating animals and stuff. Right?
Yeah.
We're not that far removed from that. And he hasn't gotten younger since then. So,
I still can't get over that.
And it's crazy because I have friends who actually support him. And no matter what I send them, they explain it away. And I'm like, yo, black ass ain't got no business defending this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, I'm all for dissecting certain things,
right?
But some stuff is just like, come on, it's blatant,
right?
It's blatant. And Eric, I've sent you some of these screenshots.
yes. Now I get we all have that friend that wants to be a smart person, and you know, seem smart because they support something nobody else in their community does, or whatever. But open your eyes, you know. When Trump says he's going to support African Americans, I'm sure you didn't have Elon Musk in mind, right? That's not the one that you were looking for. But look what you got.
Yeah, because a lot of them are saying, like, well, we need to fix the government. Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We do. There are some things that we do need to fix. But you don't come in with a wrecking ball and just tear everything down. You have done no auditing. You haven't done any real digging.
No.
You just going and taking shit away and like, oops, oh my bad. We need them back.
Yeah, we need it. Like,
and you know what? Okay, you've worked in corporate America. You've worked in change management, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know how meticulous you have to be to make any change in a department.
Yeah. Right.
Right. They're making changes across national organizations in less than 2 months. There's no way you've even properly figured out where the waste is yet.
Exactly.
You know, you got rid of people who handle nuclear weapons, and now you don't even know how to get in touch with them. What?
So we're, like you said, no auditing, not assessing the situation.
Nope.
They're just looking at it from the standpoint that they were already in. Oh, we don't like that this happened, that happened. So now we just going to wipe out that whole department.
What they're doing is they're actually looking at it from the, you were investigating me, Elon.
Yep. Just being petty.
So you got to go.
Yeah.
So you can stop investigating me so I can get away with the fraud that I was doing.
Right.
But to make it look like y'all the ones that's committing the fraud. It's just
that, and the people that are pushing this through, they won't feel the effects of these organizations having breakdowns, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the people at the bottom that feel
right.
it, not the billionaires. So yeah, they can do whatever because they're not gonna feel it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So how do y'all feel? Because I have a lot of friends, of course, still in the military and federal government. That are just being fired. They got the email about resigning. They got the email about the bullets. Like, How do y'all feel about that?
I saw something the other day where a lot of employees from what is Elon's thing with Dodge?
Doge.
They all quit.
Yeah.
Because they said that they made a commitment and they vowed an oath to protect the American people. And what Elon wants them to do, they said there's no way they can still uphold mm-hmm. that commitment. And yep. they all quit. Yep. Every last one of them quit. So that right there was enough to tell you if people mm-hmm. are willing to give up their government mm-hmm. jobs that they have had for years, like they are a federal employee that they've had for years, and you to just come in 2 months.
Yeah.
And these people are like, you know what? We can't even compromise. Like, mm-hmm. there's no type of way I could just sit in here and just deal with all of this and take all of this, because ultimately we know that the American people are going to suffer behind what mm-hmm. you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I'm getting the hell out of Dodge.
Yep.
It's sad. It said two of my friends were government contractors, federal contractors, and they both lost their job. And it was just like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, really just out of nowhere. And it's just, and so many people around them just gone, just yep. wiped out. And I'm just like, they just can't believe it. And it's just crazy. And I'm important roles.
Yeah.
Really, really important roles. And it's just like, these are, how are you wiping out these departments?
Yeah.
You need these people.
Yeah.
You need people doing what they were doing.
I just want to know, how did the discussion come up to wipe out the Department of Education?
Oh, that was part of Project 2025.
That is
because they want to privatize it.
People kept thinking it was fake.
Well, a lot of people agreed with it. The guy that I sent you the screenshots of, he agrees with it. He was like, it's poor, it's horrible. But why not fix it? Would you get rid of it? Why not fix it? Where are the holes? What's wrong? Where does the funding actually need to go? Because it doesn't, now you're going to take it away and leave it to states. Okay, what about states that can't really fend for themselves? Mm-hmm. Like the Mississippis, like the Alabamas, they're small states, they're poor states. They don't have the funding to do that. That's why we have a federal Department of Education.
That, and also trying to standardize things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, everybody should be learning similar things. If there's no federal standard, how do we regulate that?
There's already disparities amongst just even different regions. Up north, the curriculum is different than it is down here. And certain states definitely don't learn as much as other states already.
Yeah.
So it's just like, imagine now.
Yeah. And they want to say that we should be comparable to like Japan.
How?
Plus, I hate to say this, but we have to step up security in schools. That costs money.
Right, mm-hmm. because they don't want to talk about gun regulation.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, because unlike other countries, we have people who like to go there and, you know,
do what they want to do.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
And you cutting out the Department of Education, that cuts out all that funding. So now you have no resource officers. Now you have none of this other stuff that needs to be on campus with these kids. These mm-hmm. teachers are already underpaid. So now they won't be mm-hmm. paid at all. The chaps is already dumb as hell. So you just want to make them dumber. I feel bad for whoever the hell the pastors and the damn president is going to be out of that generation.
Yeah. And what really bothers me a lot of when people are talking from their pedestals, where they have like the privilege to talk, when they're like, well, their parents should do this. Everybody don't have good parents. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't have stable homes. Everybody don't have those luxuries to be like, oh, mom, can you help me with my homework? Like, they got to get out of that. Like, the Department of Education helps to fund a lot of low-income students, IEPs, disabilities. Like, it's a lot of things that people from a place of privilege don't really have to worry about.
At all, because they don't understand equity.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest things with the Department of Education. It provided that equity for mm-hmm. people who unfortunately come from circumstances where they don't have those certain resources. And IEPs are huge for me because my children have had them. Yeah. So it's just like, what do you do when someone needs some extra assistance here mm-hmm. or there? Yeah. Who is going to teach that? We need those. We need those programs. Yep. I mean, what about even gifted programs for children who are accelerated and mm-hmm. way ahead?
Yep.
What now? So now they're going to be in classes where they're not being challenged.
Right.
But we want to be comparable to Japan, which I wish we could be.
Right.
But how?
Yeah.
Well, we won't do it by having this office of efficiency that's not efficient itself. So if you look at their website, even today, some of the things they claim they fixed, they've taken off from yesterday to today.
Yep.
So
they removed it.
With no explanation.
And that's why I tell people, like, don't take everything that they say in panic, because most of the stuff that they're doing is smoke and mirrors, and they're not doing it anyway, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to pass. It's just, they are just chaotic. Mm-hmm. And they're just caused, and this is their plan, though. They want it to be chaotic. Yeah, right. They want to flood you with a whole bunch of information that ain't going nowhere, so they can hide what they're doing for real.
That's true. It's a distraction.
Because you're going to focus on all of this other stuff. You're
meanwhile, they in the back end.
They on the back end destroying the hell out of something else. Mm-hmm. And by the time we realize it, it's over with and done, and they're destroying something else.
And what they're doing is lining Elon's pockets to make sure that he is in control of all of these big contracts, because they keep talking about, oh, they're getting rid of USAID, Department of Education. Mm-hmm. These little funds that they're trying to get rid of, it's like 1% of the budget. It doesn't even equal to close to what Elon Musk is getting, mm-hmm. or the Department of Defense, where the most of the budget is going. I worked in the Department of Defense. I have seen the waste. It is unimaginable how much money they waste. When that damn fiscal year come around, if you don't spend the money that they budget out to you, you lose it. Mm-hmm. So they just start buying shit
on everything. Yep.
Big ass screens, monitors. Everybody got a curved monitor, two curved monitors on their desk, just to spend the money. They might. I mean, they gonna have, look, when I was deployed, I had a it was like a Toyota Sequoia, but it was an up armor vehicle, so it was literally armor, like it was bulletproof, everything, doors heavy as shit. I didn't walk nowhere. I just drove around. For what? I'm not gonna walk my ass to the damn tent to go to work. But they let me drive everywhere. We all had a vehicle.
For nothing. Didn't need
it. I wasn't going nowhere.
It's spending money.
Yeah, they spend lots of money. So that's where they need to really get, that's where the budget needed to be, because Department of Defense. But they're not going to do it, because that's where Elon money come from. That's where all his contracts are.
I ain't been right with Elon or none of this since Trump started running, and he started running with him. Mm-hmm. Because for one, to this day, I don't believe Trump won the way he won.
Nope.
You telling me this man's best friend is the person who created the machines, who count the damn votes. And y'all telling me Trump won all of these damn states?
Ain't no way.
He swept her just like that? No.
And remember what Elon was saying before the before the election? He was like, oh, I don't need to vote. Doesn't matter. I already know who won. I don't need to vote.
Trump was saying it too.
Yeah.
And we'll never,
doesn't matter if you vote or not.
Yeah, we'll never know that, you know, the election was rigged, stolen, whatever. We'll never know it, because at the end of the day, if y'all investigate those machines, that man, he created them. He made the machine.
Yeah, he can clear the trail out. He can
clear all of that out.
And then the only way we'll know is if Trump ego get too big and they fall out and Elon tell him his ass.
That's what the hell gonna happen. People are already calling him President Musk. I'm telling you right now, one of these days, Trump will get pissed. He's gonna get pissed and be like, hold on. You're gonna stop calling him the president, because I'm the president. Yep. He's not the president. He's just a guy that steals a lot and does. It's gonna be one of them days.
His IQ is very, very low. Very, very low.
He can't do anything unless I approve it anyway. He has to come to me. Like, Trump gonna throw a fit one day, and I'm telling you, a hit dog gonna holler.
Oh yeah, he is coming. He can't handle it too long. He's a narcissist. His ego is too big.
And Elon's ego is getting more and more inflated.
Oh yeah,
to the point
he's about to go too far.
He gonna go too far. He gonna cross that line, and Lord have mercy, it's gonna be hell between them two big head fuckers.
So, what do y'all think about the bill that was proposed? I think yesterday or today, the Republicans proposed a bill to pretty much give a tax break to the rich.
Of course,
And this would include cutting Medicaid, SNAP, which is food stamps, housing assistance, free school lunch. They proposed it, and only one Republican said no. So the proposal went through, was it the House 215 to 217 or something like that? Still got to go through the Senate. But yeah, what do y'all think about that bill?
Bullshit.
this is what we voted for. Right. And I say we, I mean as a country. Not saying individually, but as a country, this is what we voted for, right?
I would like
the House.
Go ahead,
Eric. I'm sorry, Eric. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I'm just so saying they won everything. So this is what we voted for. Like, we knew this was coming.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I would like to think that something like that, cutting all of those, would never pass. Mm-hmm. But because of the things that have happened already, it's like, You just don't even know. But I would like to think, how could they even pass something like that with cutting all of that? Because what that will do for the
American people.
Yes. Yeah, like it's literally going to, people are going to starve. Mm-hmm. People are going to die because they don't have health care.
People are going to be homeless.
People are going to be even more homeless. People are going to start flooding all these government buildings. People are going to start doing some crazy stuff. No school lunch. Kids are going to be starving. No housing. So I would like to think that something like that just wouldn't even be able to pass, because it's just for humanity. People are going to just start dying. You're going to be walking over dead bodies in the road, in the street.
It's literally going to be
because they're going to be dead. They're going to be sick and they're going to be starved. So I would like to think that
you already got the homeless that are crowding all of these government buildings. We don't even have places to put the homeless. So what are you going to do with the people that you already have on housing authority, housing assistance, Section 8, food stamps, people that are receiving Medicaid? You're going to have all of these hospitals that shut down because Jim Levine's will have no more funding. So you're going to kick out all of those people that's in those hospitals. All of this, you're going to have doctors and nurses that work in these hospitals. They're going to have to find different fields and all of this. You have doctors that literally work off receiving Medicaid because they want to help people. Now these doctors are not going to be able to do any of this. Like, y'all are going to mess up 99% of the country.
This is the way the world goes.
But
y'all sitting up here in the house actually discussing this shit?
That's what's weird.
In the long term, it's going to be harder for people to get out of poverty. Right? Because you're just trying to survive. So it's going to be hard for people to get out of poverty, which means your middle class
is
going
to shrink. It's going. There is going to be
all these services that these rich people own, or companies rich people own. They're not going to have as many customers to go for their services. So the economy is going to implode on itself long term.
Keep pushing. And this is what the economists were trying to tell the American people when they read Trump's plan. It's not going to be good. It's going to implode. It's going to be horrible. Whatever they're trying to lay out is not good. And it is crazy that these two things would even be in the same bill. Tax breaks for the rich and cutting off the lower income classes benefits. Like, why would these even be in the same bill?
The Great Depression ain't got shit on this.
It is literally going to be you're rich or you're poor.
Yep.
There won't be a middle class. There won't be an upper middle class.
Nope.
There won't be any of that. You're either going to be rich or you're going to be poor. All of us.
The poor is
going to
be way bigger than the rich.
Oh, yeah. Because the rich is still going to be 1-2%
That absolutely.
It's you're going to be rich or you're going to be poor.
And like, this is what kind of baffled me when people were so excited about this Trump being president, Elon Musk, like these billionaires. Why in the world do you think they care about? They literally have the ability to stop hunger. They can stop all of the poverty right now if they wanted to. And they have never even attempted to. They've done nothing to help anybody ever in life. So why do you think that now all of a sudden, because they're in office, they care? That is the weirdest shit to me. Like, I never understood this. Oh, they know how to do this. They're going to help us. Why would they?
They didn't help before.
They've never helped in their life.
Trump had money before he came in here, whether he got it from his daddy or not. He had money before he got in here.
And they never helped
Never helped a damn soul. So y'all think just because he get back in this house for a second time, that he gonna do something? No, I feel like Trump's gonna get in here and tear that whole damn Constitution to hell.
But I feel like what bothers me is that people forget how he tore crap up his first term. Right. The only thing it's like people are remembering is they got that dumbass $1,200 check or whatever it was. And that had nothing to do with him.
Congress
It didn't matter.
He didn't even want to give it to us.
Your mama was in the presidency. Everybody was going to get it. We were in a pandemic.
Reverse it. Congress had already put that into place.
But he did delay it so they could put his name on that.
That's why he delayed it. Because
he's a master marketer. He's a genius at it.
It didn't matter who was sitting there. We were going to get that because we were in a pandemic and there was no money circulating. Oh, so they had to do something. But Trump was horrible that first term. He was absolutely horrible. And it's like everybody forgot that.
Think about it. What the hell did he have to do that first term? Shit, we was locked down for majority of it.
Exactly.
Only thing you did was like, okay, well, while y'all at home, I want y'all to know that old Uncle Donnie sent y'all this money. No. Barack had already knew about this. Congress had knew that all this was coming. All of this funding, all this stuff was put into place long before you got your little chunky ass in here. Then you held that. You delayed it so that you could put your name on the check. So now that ignorant Negroes can sit here and say, oh, Donald Trump gave us $1,200 and $1,400 and $600. Oh, I'm gonna vote for him again. For what? You think you're gonna see some more damn money?
And we still paying for it now.
Yeah, and that's what they didn't get. You file your taxes, and then the next couple of years, everybody wondering why am I getting as much money back? Because you paying back all that money that they gave you, all that unemployment that everybody was getting that little extra $700 a week.
Yeah.
That you know why they gave you that? Because they knew half of y'all dumb, and you was going to go back to the stores and blow that money. Yeah. And we needed to get money circulating. Yeah. That's what we had to do. We needed to get money circulating. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give all y'all that ain't never seen this much money. We're going to give you $700 a week because you ain't never seen that in your life.
Yeah.
And what you go do? You went and spent it on a whole bunch of nothing
crab
and kept those dollars circulating right in their pocket.
Couldn't even get no damn Old Bay seasoning.
Stealing all the toilet paper. Remember that?
I mean, they was buying everything. Mm-hmm. Unemployment was going crazy.
Eric, what you was about to say?
I just laughing. But, I mean, this is what happens when you vote based on your fear. Right? Mm-hmm. But Trump's came to the forefront as a candidate, when you start playing on people's fears, building a wall and keeping people out and all these other things.
That, marketing, you know, genius.
Marketing, place. So when you vote for your fears and not for an actual plan, this is what you get.
Or a concept of a plan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I was reading something today and it said that Black men are leaning more towards supporting Trump than Black women. Why is that?
I'm gonna let the Black man answer.
I think part of it is there's some machismo there, right? Trump has a certain I don't even want to say swagger, but
arrogance
and a certain
ego.
Yeah, that some men want to identify with. I mean, Trump is basically like a wrestling character, right? And so I find him entertaining and amusing. I don't think he should be in office. You know what I mean? I don't think he should be on Monday Night Raw. Like, two different things, you know? But I think some men are attracted to that. And then also, I don't think it's coincidence that the two times Trump won, he's run against women. Because some men just can't see a woman in charge. So I really think that's what it came down to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
But I feel like once they did finally find a woman that had the potential to fight back, like, she still had her standoffish moments and whatnot, but she had an attitude to where it's like, hold the hell on now. Y'all done pushed me, but you ain't gonna push me that damn far. When they finally found that, it was like, okay, now we need to bring Elon in. Now Elon's in here. We got us two powerful men that really don't give a damn about nothing. We're going to say whatever the hell we want to say, and we're going to do whatever the hell we want to do. Now you got more men that want to, I want to back them up, and all of that. So, again, I still don't feel like Trump beat her. Mm-mm. Did I feel like she was the best candidate? It's debatable. Mm-hmm. But her against him, I'll pick her any damn day.
And I think the Democrats set her up for failure. Yeah. Joe Biden particularly set her up for failure.
Because why you wait that damn long? Yeah, that woman, you had knew 2 months.
From when you won the election, you should have said, I'm going to be a one-term president so that we had a fair primary for the Democrats. So we had a fair race and they had fair time to prepare because Trump been preparing for forever.
Yep. He knew he was going to run again.
Yeah. So I just think they set her up for failure. I don't know if she had a choice. I probably would have said no. Don't set me up to lose. I got but 100 days.
I don't think she
that's
had a
not
choice.
Fair.
I don't think she had a choice. And then I also think that she did not want to be the person to say no.
Mm-hmm. Or she should have said, we need to have a Democratic primary. I don't care how we can do it next week. We need to have a primary to let the American people vote for who they want to run for the Democratic candidate.
I think she stood back and just sat back and just kind of analyzed the situation of, I'm a Black woman. I am also the vice president, the first female to ever hold this position. And now y'all want me to run for president?
I can't say no.
Mm-hmm. I said yes to vice presidency.
Right. And she probably didn't think Elon was going to cheat and mess up the numbers either.
And I didn't know at all that, we're going to use his best friend's machines to vote. And I'm still going to win. No. Sorry, sweetheart. Because when I started seeing those numbers on election night, I say no damn way in hell. No. Y'all not telling me Trump swept her like that. No way.
Not with all that backing she had.
And there was
many celebrities and people really came together for her immediately.
And there's never follow her.
First of all, when Taylor Swift endorsed you, it's kind of like a given. And there's never been, in my lifetime, I've never watched an election, like the results come out and they come out that quick.
Right.
Ever.
Because normally you can't even go to sleep and be like, okay, I know.
You're like, let me wake up. I'll wait till tomorrow.
Next morning. Yeah.
Yeah, because 2020 was days.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, you use little Musk machine.
We got a call.
And he didn't rig them up.
Okay.
Yes.
We got a caller.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, who am I talking to?
This is Marcus Hall.
Hey, Marcus, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What you got for me?
Awesome. I was listening to that last part, and I really wanted to chime in on the part when you said that they set up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the Democratic Party has a lot of work to do in the inner workings to modernize and be more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And strategize ahead of time. And they knew going in that President Biden should only be in a bridge to a more viable candidate.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of baggage. He's very old. And I think their lack of strategy and their lack of continuity hurt her chances.
Mm. Mm. 100% agree. Yeah. 100%. Yep. And you
can't just talk bad about Trump and his legal issues.
Mm.
The thing that's going to sway the vote. Mm.
Right.
It didn't work the first time.
Nope.
So why they revisit that same strategy was crazy to me.
I feel like they didn't help her out at all.
Well, that's a good point, because the other Republicans running against Trump tried that, and it didn't
work. Yep.
So you saw that it's not going to work. You saw that bringing up January 6th not going to work. Right. You need to try something different.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you, Marcus.
And I feel like they didn't help her. Thank you for having me.
I'm listening. I'll be watching and listening to you all from going forward.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
No problem. Take care.
Like he said, you know, they didn't help her plan at all. Once Biden passed it down to her, she accepted it. Y'all didn't have to come in with any type of strategy at all. Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't try to back her up. Like, look, you can start off talking about what he did and how, you know, his legal battles and all of that, but move on past that, and we're going to touch this and this and this and this. And this. You got 2 months, baby. We got to touch all of this. Nobody helped her.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were so many other things they really could have touched on.
But to be honest, is that going to make the general public smarter and change their vote? Probably not, right? No. You know what the last election showed me is just a lot of dumb people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And honestly, I honestly feel like they did that on purpose, because if she really had full time from beginning to end
she
would have won. And I feel like they did that on purpose to where they could have tarnished her, to where now if she tries to run again, all we gonna remember is you didn't do shit the first time.
Well, I think a lot of it too, I'm gonna blame black men for a second. They were really hell bent on her on two things. She ain't black and she locked up black men.
Oh yeah, they stuck on that.
And it wasn't true. And it was dumb. Like, why? Like, what?
She went to Howard.
Yeah, okay. It was just like,
you talking about she's not black and she locked up black men. Hell, Trump tried to execute 5 innocent ones. What the hell are y'all talking about?
And y'all mad that this woman was doing her job as a prosecutor
and
locked up some black drug dealers. But it's not like she only locked up black men. She locked up white ones too.
She locked up whoever broke the law.
Right.
Whoever broke the law got locked up. Y'all think she was just supposed to be like, oh, my bad. You one of the homies. Let me see your other black ass back home. You know better than that. Like, make it make sense. But y'all put this guy in office that was just a billionaire at the time, well, a millionaire at the time, but he pushed for 5 innocent black teenagers to be executed.
And he wouldn't rent to black
and
people.
Still stood on that after them boys got exonerated.
And still do to this day.
Yep.
But y'all want to talk about who she put in jail. She didn't kill him.
Right.
She didn't want to kill him.
I do want to say, because you said blaming black men real quick. Did you see this comment?
Okay.
Can you read the comment? Because
the last one?
Yes.
Can you put it up on the screen?
She lost. I mean, actually,
read what it said.
She lost. Get over it. Women are not good
leaders anyway.
I think maybe he's not black, but it doesn't matter if he is or he isn't. But I think that's part of the issue, that there are a lot of men who also feel that way.
Right.
Women aren't good leaders.
And it's crazy
anyway.
Because we have been in this country for how long? We've had how many men presidents? We complain about the country being shitty. They all were men. Women have never done it. So what are you talking about? Women have been leading families through generations, a lot of them with no help, and creating amazing men that are able to run to be president. So to say that women aren't good leaders is just, it's just irresponsible and just dumb. It's just annoying.
But that's why I don't think even if she had more time, I still don't think she'd win, because there's just so many men who would not vote for her.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. If they didn't vote for Hillary, they weren't going to vote for her.
No.
Right.
They ain't going to let no black woman get it before a white woman.
No. And hell, they wouldn't.
That's just America.
Get in there no way, because they knew Bill was going to be running that. Hillary's just, it was going to be the same thing we got right now. Trump win, Elon is running it. Hillary would have won, Bill was going to be running it.
And then,
but I'll take Bill.
I'll take Bill.
And they're talking about the Democratic strategy. Even now, the Democrats don't have a good strategy. Even now,
no.
Like, what are we doing now
to prepare for 2028,
or to combat what's happening? Like, it's only a couple people that's really standing up and being vocal about what Trump is doing.
Right.
But it's still like the. I don't know. These, I guess, congressmen who have been in forever, they still want to play this high role. Like, no, that got to go out the window. You can't be politically correct no more. Mm-hmm. It don't work.
Because they don't care about being politically correct.
No.
What's the alderman out of Michigan? I think he passed away last year. He said, when they go low, I go lower.
Period.
Listen,
that's where we at.
Listen, that has become my strategy about a lot.
Yeah. That one right there. He said, you go low, I'm going to hell.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to shift gears, because since Ray done pissed me off, slow ass boy.
Maybe he was being facetious.
No, he wasn't. No, I've seen them comments a lot. Oh, I've seen those types of comments a lot. I don't even. Yeah. I ain't got time. He can go to hell. What do y'all think about Wendy Williams? Have y'all read about it, seen it, about her and this conservatorship? I didn't even know like these types of things could just happen to people. It's weird to me that you could just take somebody's family member and don't give them back.
I think everything that's going on with her is sad.
Yeah.
I think it's sad. I think her decline is just, it's just sad. Sad to see.
Because I ain't going to hold you. Me being a person that wasn't a Wendy Williams fan, I did not respect how she used to just come for people and do it with no regard to respect or, you know, any type of decency.
Yep.
She would just bombard them. Like, you brought these people on your show, from your radio station all the way down to your TV show. You brought people on your show, and of course they knew, coming into something like that, you know, everything's just kind of, hey, everything can be touched.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about anything, but she just didn't give a damn about anything. And how she would say it was just like, you immediately would piss them off. So I kind of wasn't a Wendy Williams fan of how she handled her stuff. But hey, that took her to the pedestal she's at now. But now I do feel bad for her, because now I do feel like she's in a prison. I feel like the way that they are treating her and how they're handling her and how they handling this whole situation, this guardianship and all of this stuff, I do feel like she's in a prison. And I just feel bad for her, to be honest. And then for the judge to block, I saw something that the judge blocked to where she can have a cell phone and outside communication.
She can have the phone, but nobody can call her. She got to call them. And she can't leave the building. She can't go outside at all.
I just don't understand why.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, this all sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just sounds so, I hate to say stage, like she's just setting this up for some major comeback and she's going to make a movie about it or something, but it just, I don't know. It just seems
because it feels like she's a hostage. It literally feels like she's a hostage right now. And the only difference between her and the hostages that we see in the movies is she's able to do an interview from time to time and be like, guys, I need help. Somebody help me. Like, I don't like this, blah, blah, blah. But then a week later, a new judge then agreed on something to where Wendy can't do this and she can't do that. And she's not allowed for this. And I don't know. I just feel bad for her all the way around.
I just don't understand how they can, again, just out of nowhere make those decisions. And just like you, Trey, I've never been a Wendy Williams fan. I did like her book. I loved her book. I read that probably like 15 years ago. But I've never, I just didn't like the way she handled a lot of stuff either. But this is just sad. Y'all really have just taken this woman's life away. Even if her health is declining, people's health declines all the time. Still allow her to be able to enjoy her life, her money, her family. How did you just come in and take this?
She's still walking, talking, washing her ass. She's still coherent. You ask her a question, she's answering you. She's talking about everything. She's in her right mind. So why do y'all feel the need to just feel like somebody has to be over her? I do remember in the beginning, her health was declining to the point where none of that was possible. She didn't make a 180.
But why would her family not be able to, like her niece who's always with her, why wouldn't she be able to take, like, why would some random people just take over her money? And that's weird to me.
Somebody been working in the background all these years and they say, bitch, we gonna get you back. All this shit you was talking, bitch, we gonna get you back. And
Or they got the, and they got the
government. I love Wendy. I've always been a Wendy fan. I love it. I like the mess. So, and she was a trailblazer for what's happening right now on social media.
Yeah.
Everybody messy now.
Everybody messy. Like, she started, I promise you, I'll give it to her. Before reality TV, and we actually got to see like messy people in, you know, real raw form.
It was Wendy.
Wendy was the messy person. You cut on her radio station, and I'm telling you, she digging. Oh, she digging.
And she wasn't lying. She was telling the truth.
She fact checked. She wasn't just pulling out her ass. She fact checked.
Definitely a journalist.
She was the first one to call Diddy out on his shit.
Yeah.
That's what got her fired from the radio station.
Because she'll
be Hot 97, right?
Yep.
She'll be the first one sitting in the interview and be like, so, is it true that you were on crack in the last show that you did? Because we saw you. Your eyes were bloodshot red.
She asked Whitney Houston that. She was like, crack is whack. Crack is cheap.
Boy, Whitney about blanked on that damn phone call. Did. If Whitney had been in the station, they would have fought.
They
would have fought. Like, Whitney and Wendy and anybody else is just iconic on how she would handle the interviews
with people.
And it got to a point where people would just be like, I ain't doing no damn interview with Wendy. Hell no, I don't know what that bitch know. I'm
not that's real.
Yeah, I feel sorry for her. I hope they let her out. Watching her on that TMZ interview, that was tough.
Just to see her cry.
That was tough.
Like you really just felt her pain from looking at her. That was awful.
That is,
because it's like she's explaining to y'all.
You feel the pain looking at her, but that's been for a long
time. I cannot.
Sorry.
Spanning from a long
time. Eric.
I've been feeling that way. I can't with Eric.
Yeah.
I'm not dealing with you today, Eric. So free Wendy, hashtag free Wendy, let her out. Last question, y'all. Do y'all think Drake's career is over?
No.
He just dropped the album. Did you listen to it?
No, but I didn't listen to Drake before anyway. But
I don't think I listened to his first album.
I don't think
his career is over. Do I feel like it's a little dampened? Yes. Only reason why I say I feel like it's dampered is because of the fact that this is even a question. That's the only reason why I feel like it's dampered. The fact that this is even a question. This is able to be a discussion of, is his career over? And that's it. I don't feel like Kendrick killed him. I don't feel like none of that. I just feel like you didn't respond back in the beef that you had with this guy. Y'all went song for song, track for track, back to back. He dropped one. You never clapped back. He capitalized and hauled ass with that.
I think Kendrick annihilated him.
Yeah.
Annihilated
him with promotion, with everything. Like, he took it and ran with it and made sure he put the money behind it so it can be pushed. If I'm going to trash
the smartest thing he could do.
That's just like talking shit to somebody face to face. If we arguing and arguing and arguing, and I'm hitting you with low blows and low blows, the more the crowd laugh, the more I'm gonna keep on going.
But here's the thing about Drake. With that back and forth, Kendrick didn't have to put money behind it.
No.
Drake had already promoted it enough to make it feel like he was going to win. So Kendrick capitalized on Drake. He didn't have to put money behind it. Yeah, it really took off organically by itself. And it was like wildfire.
Yeah. But,
beautiful.
Well, but he hit the right song, right? Mm-hmm. He came with the right, like the other songs he made about Drake didn't hit the same way.
But y'all got to understand that Kendrick Lamar is a genius. He did that shit on purpose.
I love Kendrick.
He did it to bait Drake.
Yeah.
I get what
you called
saying.
Me out. So here you go.
Right. But Drake is still... Okay. Also, with this question, you got to be careful not to look at it from the Black American view.
Right. Because
that's only a small piece of Drake's audience, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Drake's worldwide. Drake's so big that Kendrick came up dissing him, right?
Yeah.
So do I think kids in...
Wait a minute. Say that again. Rewind. Say that again.
That Drake's so big that Kendrick elevated coming dissing Drake.
Hmm.
Like, I don't think
I agree with that.
The Super Bowl.
I can understand why you're saying that because even with him going to the Super Bowl, a lot of people outside of the Black community didn't really know
he had already performed at the Super Bowl.
So,
on with Dr.
But to have the whole
has Drake performed at the Super Bowl?
No, but
but they already know Drake.
Drake was still bigger honors than Kendrick. What I'm saying is, Kendrick is like hip hop,
and I love
he's the artist, right? But Drake is the pop star, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and I feel like it was drama fuel behind it. It's like you got this song out and you are trashing this man, whether the lyrics are true or not. You are trashing this man. We drama sells.
Yep.
So let's put Kendrick at the Super Bowl because we know he's going to rap this song, talking shit about Drake. Let's put him on here.
But they got more than they burn for him when you do the protest. But yeah.
It's like I don't know. I don't feel like Drake's career is over. Drake has loyal fans. I mean, I just don't feel like it's over. Do I feel like Drake need to come back with that banger? Nigga, you need
to do something.
You need to come back with that.
I think best thing to do is just move on. Like when Jay-Z lost to Nas, mm-hmm. he
tried to move on. He just dropped the album. Do y'all know any songs on it?
I don't listen to Drake.
But I'm just saying, normally, like, but you didn't really listen to Kendrick either, but you know the song that just went crazy.
I've listened to Kendrick before.
But I'm saying, like, to say that Drake is a big artist and you don't know any of the songs that just came out on his album, like we would have known before the beef, means to me that his career is dwindling.
I wouldn't have known before the beef. I'll be honest with you.
The songs would have been all over the place. Yeah, it would have been undeniable. We would have heard them all the time.
Yeah, it was like you couldn't cut on the radio
without hearing
Drake song or a Drake feature. Okay. Now it's like you can't.
I haven't heard the song. I have Kendrick. No clue what songs he dropped on that album. Mm-hmm. Not one.
Because he hadn't dropped a single to where he pushed it, and then it was the album. So I get what you're saying on that.
Yeah, to me, as long as he doesn't, if he does what Ja Rule tried to do and make everything about the person coming at him, that's then he'll mess up. But if he just moves on, like
just move on. Right. See, and I think that's what he did.
I think the problem is that the things that Kendrick called out about Drake are specific to his music. So now when you hear his music, you're like, damn, that shit
Kendrick was
crazy as fuck. Like, yeah, that is kind of corny. Like, so now you're dissecting everything you hear from Drake.
And it makes you go all the way back to his songs.
And you're like, don't nobody want to hear this shit because he sound the same.
Yeah.
And somebody said that Drake is an actor who's been acting like a rapper.
I can believe that. He was an actor before he was a rapper. So.
Yeah.
Was
in the
listen, I used to love Degrassi. Listen, I love me some Degrassi.
And I'm not taking away anything that he's done. I'm just saying, I think since the beef,
I think it's shifted. I don't think of Drake in the same realm. I think of like Pusha T or the Clips or, you know, like normal rap groups, right? I think of Drake as more pop music, you know? So I don't care what his life really like or what he grew up with, like that, you know, didn't bother me. Because I don't think of him as like.
You think of him as a pedophile? Shut up. A minor.
No, I don't.
Sorry.
You know, I'm hoping that's not true.
Can you put Ed's comment up on the screen, please? Ed said Kendrick slayed him in every lyrical creative way. Facts, Kendrick is a genius.
Creatively, I agree. Yes. Kendrick plus, has always from been a lyrical genius.
He has a Pulitzer Prize.
Teenagers are going to go up the wave.
Right? Yeah.
That's who's buying music. That's who consuming music. They're going to go up the wave, you know?
But this was different. This wasn't just teenagers. This was the entire world.
Yeah.
Not just, like us was a, it was a phenom. It was everywhere.
I feel like creatively, yeah. he dropped a track and it was like, whether I'm going to tell the truth about, and whether I know facts about this stuff or not, I am lyrically inclined enough to put this shit together.
In a way that everybody's going to believe it.
For a whole year. A whole year.
If like Drake goes on tour, is it gonna sell out?
Is who go? If who
going?
I think he'll still sell out. Any artist,
hell, SWV go on tour, they're gonna sell out. Yeah. I mean, core people got core fan base.
It ain't over.
So I don't think his career.
Okay, his stardom, but maybe not career. Stardom.
Yeah, he's been on top a long time. Right? So yeah, I mean, is he
dwindling
down a notch? Yeah.
Can I intervene?
Yes, sir.
This is bothering me.
Can you hurry up?
Yeah, I'm gonna say it.
I don't think they can hear you, so say it.
Look, be honest with you. If you look at the big picture, Kendrick back to back Drake. Same the way Drake back to back fucking Meek Mill.
He did.
That's what Kendrick did with Drake. Yeah. If you go back and look at the entire thing when he did the Meek Mill, Kendrick did the exact same
thing. Yeah. He did, and he annihilated him.
Yeah.
And he definitely annihilated. Come on. There's never been a bigger diss song in the history of diss songs ever.
For all these years, and you got this one track that made you shut the hell up. You ain't clapped back and said nothing.
Annihilate.
It ain't about
he cares.
You caring.
He absolutely cares.
I'm gonna tell you this. Bring it down to a fight. If you'd have started and both of y'all is fighting and both of y'all swinging and you stop swinging and the other person is still swinging, you getting your ass whooped. That's what happened.
He absolutely cares.
He started swinging. You started swinging, and then you. Oh, okay. I'm gonna chill out. You getting your ass whooped at that point, and he ain't stopped. My nigga won a Grammy for a diss track.
He absolutely did. And a lot of instances.
You won a damn Grammy for a diss track? Do you know how big that is?
Biggest diss track in history.
You got Jay-Z that just stood up there and said last year, why the hell Beyonce ain't win for best country, and this nigga just won for a diss track.
He annihilated literally, him. I don't care what. Like, I don't care how big of a fan you are, Drake. I don't care what he made before.
I don't say
when he dropped that song,
is over.
He killed his ass.
I say this: his career is not over. But if you want to put him in a ring and go round for round boxing match, Drake, you lost that fight. Sorry, you lost that belt. Kendrick won that belt. Move on. Fight again. Floyd fight all the time. So at the end of the day, my boy, you lost this damn round. Everybody, y'all can agree to disagree. Y'all can sit here and say Kendrick, whatever, whatever, whatever. Drake, you lost that damn round. I'm sorry, my boy. Come back. Go in the gym and get your damn weight up and bring your little ass back and try it again. And right now, you lost.
And I believe one of the singles on his album, they had it on the Shade Room or something. He's still addressing Kendrick. Why? Why?
He likes skin. You
that,
know
that's a mistake to me.
Eric.
Like, look, I look at Eric.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, let it go. Let it
now,
go.
I do think that's a mistake, right? Like, just right. Let because at the end of the day, he's just not in that class. Like, you know, just be a pop star. Be happy being a pop star.
Because you're selling out.
For real. Mm-hmm. And like, he's going to continue to sell out.
He just did a show. He just did a show where it was a lady that was like 6 months pregnant in the mosh pit.
Yeah, I saw
he
that.
He got her out, gave her VIP tickets, and gave her $30,000 because she held up a poster and said that she was like 8 months or 7 months pregnant. And he was like, 7 months pregnant? What the hell is
wrong
with
you?
Why
are you in the
mosh pit? Why do you have that baby in the mosh pit? He was like, get her out and give her 30K and give her VIP tickets. Like, do we know if he really gave all that?
Right.
No. But still, that whole damn arena was still packed. It was flashes going way up and everywhere. So
absolutely.
His career is not over.
Hell, if Earth, Wind, and Fire could still sell out, I mean, that's
how he's not tainted.
Exactly.
You just lost the fight.
Like,
that's it. Like, I'm not a big Kendrick fan. I got different select songs that I'll listen to from Kendrick. You just lost that fight. That's it. You a Canadian nigga that lost to a West Coast nigga. Sorry.
I just wish Drake fans would just accept that. They won't.
They won't accept that at all. Oh. They worse than the damn Beehive. Shit.
Yeah. They won't.
You know, we're in a culture where people follow people no matter what, right?
Yeah.
In the election.
Trump.
You know? Right. Go back to the first one. Damn, Drizzy.
Look, y'all, I appreciate y'all for coming on. Coming in here while I am sick, trying to fight for my life.
No, you fucking
Shut the hell up. I made it through without dying.
You did.
I made it through. Y'all know what to do. Tell the people what y'all got going on, how to follow y'all. If y'all got events coming up, that's y'all camera over there. Whoever want to go first, have at it.
I do have a scholarship fundraiser coming up in May called May Day. So you can follow me on social media at Ice Cold Eric or flex_EDW and get more information about that.
Give them the information now. Folks don't want to look up shit. They want you to tell them.
All right. It's going to be at the Vintage Cigar Bar in Charlotte, North Carolina. You get cigar, you get bourbon. It's going to be pairing, training, and it's going to be DJ. It's going to be music. It's going to be a great event. Like I said, raise money for scholarship. So, you know, just hit me up. Just say May Day and I'll get you the information.
All them fine Ice Cold Brothers going to be in there.
Well, I mean, I'll be there.
He gets on my nerves. Oh my God.
Okay, so I'm still on a personal hiatus, pretty much from social media. But what you can do is follow Gouda's Kitchen 7 on Instagram at Gouda's Goudas Kitchen 7 on Instagram. We're all around Charlotte with our food truck. Selling out almost on the daily, so definitely follow us and see what we have going on.
Well, what do I have coming up? Right now I'm teaching line dance classes every Monday and Tuesday in Rock Hill from 6:30 to 8 p.m. So it's two different locations. You can inbox me on Facebook, Trey Colvin. Inbox me and classes are $10. From 6:30 to 8 o'clock, you learn about 2 or 3 line dances per class. To add to that, I have a trail ride coming up April 5th down in Mount Crogan, where I will be presenting my own line stepping group, the Real Deal Country Steppers. And I will also be popping out with the reality show for the trail ride called Down in the Country. So make sure you tune in. You can go to YouTube and check out the reality show that's already out. Season 3 will be dropping in about another month. But it's called The Entourage. You can search that, The Entourage, Trey Colvin, and that should pull up the whole YouTube page. Check it out. It ain't nothing but a bunch of country black people just turning up and having a good time.
You got any light-skinned people on there?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I'm like, yes.
Yes. Hey, make sure represented. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love little yellow people. Hey, I got a problem with them.
Little.
Yeah, she put me beside this damn action figure.
Oh my God.
But yeah, make sure y'all check me out. I'm outside. I'm sorry. You say what you want. I'm always in the street. I want to be a street. I'm sorry. But if you want to have a good time, come holler at your boy. You can find me on all social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, Trey Coleman.
Hey, okay. Well, y'all know who I am. I'm Beattie Leggett, aka the Core Queen. I help individuals lose weight, get in amazing shape without starving yourself or spending hours a day in the gym. If you need me to unbig your back, holler at your girl. I got you. I got a couple things coming up, but the only one I'll talk about because I'm ready to go to sleep. I have a private screening coming up on March 8th in Atlanta for a film that I'm in called Was Done in the Dark. I'm a co-lead in that film, so I'm excited to go and watch it. Red carpet event. I'll send some pictures and stuff from the event. So if you want to come, hit me up. I'll send you the link. You can get a ticket if you're in Atlanta to come and watch the film. Other than that, I got a lot of shit going on, but I'm sick, y'all. Y'all hit the like, subscribe, follow me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, wherever I'm at. Follow me, see what I got going on. I appreciate y'all each and every week for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with another episode of the Core Queen Podcast. We're out.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CourtQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CourtQueenPodcastStudio.com today.